Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion, your inquiry in relationship to the issue that we're discussing each and every day. And lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. In just a moment, right after our monologue, I'll be interviewing a very special candidate that's running for one of the offices for the state of Florida. We'll be looking forward to the dialogue and discussion on that. We invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion and pick up your telephone and call friends, relatives, neighbors, and acquaintances. Invite them to join in the broadcast each and every day, as every day on this broadcast we face issues that I believe are relevant to we the people, issues that I believe are integrated with the biblical world view that we need to see. We need to look at everything under the prism, through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. That's having a central biblicist worldview. And I believe that's imperative, especially for Christians, conservatives, patriots. We need to see the world as God sees it. Therefore, we'll better understand what is taking place and better be able to grapple with and handle what we see happening in our society today. We're faced with an election that I believe is going to be an election that will determine the destiny of America for the next 100 years, if Jesus tarries. Let me say this to you today. It is imperative that we vote. It's imperative that we vet the candidates and determine what is the candidate that pleases God in relationship to our casting our ballot. Casting the ballot is a very, very thought out, careful process, or it should be. It is one of the most sacred duties outside of our relationship to Jesus Christ. It's one of our most sacred duties in casting our ballot for the civil government in which we are living in. Yes, as Christians, we have dual citizenship, one in heaven and the other on this earth. And in this journey, though we're aliens passing through, according to the scripture, we have the responsibility of supporting and standing for God's truth in the civil government in which we're living. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let anybody deceive you into believing that Christians ought not to participate in the political endeavor. Don't let anybody deceive you in thinking that it's right, morally, ethically, biblically, for you to sit out an election and not vote. I've said many times on this broadcast and from the pulpit and in my dialogue and discussion with people, since I registered to vote, that's been less than 100 years ago, I've not missed a local, state, or national election. And I pray that you will be that passionate about this election that you'll participate in it. I have been saddened to find out that, according to David Barton with Wall Builders, that some 40 million Christians did not vote in the 2020 election. I'm told by Matt Staver with Liberty Council that perhaps as many as 25 million Christians will not vote in this election cycle. This is something that ought not to be, ladies and gentlemen. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, just as this issue that we're dealing with today, we do so based on the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then the Lord Jesus says in John 14, 6, "I am truth. further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God. In fact, in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So, ladies and gentlemen, what that tells us is that we need to have great concern and tenacity in standing on and grasping the word of God, placing it in our hearts, hiding it in our hearts, that we might be obedient to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But, ladies and gentlemen, truth is not sought for. Truth is not embraced. In fact, it was the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell, that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find that to be more and more prevalent each and every day as we watch what is taking place on a local, state, and national level in America, especially as we build up to this election. It is simply uncalled for, unheard of, that there will be the vicious attack on any political candidate or the candidates' people going out knocking on doors. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, "Republicans aren't allowed here. A GOP campaign worker viciously beaten." A campaign canvasser for U.S. Senator Marco Rubio was left with a broken jaw, internal bleeding, needing surgery, and a message saying, "Republicans aren't allowed in this neighborhood," according to the report from the senator's office. The volunteer was wearing a Rubio campaign gear that of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Further, it says, Rubio, in his statement, explained, "Last night, one of our canvassers wearing a T-shirt and a DeSantis hat was brutally attacked by four animals who told him Republicans aren't allowed in their neighborhood. The volunteer, whose name was not released, sustained internal bleeding, broken jaw, and will need facial reconstruction surgery," according to Rubio's office. It reportedly occurred in the city of Hialeah, which is located in Miami-Dade County, according to the report. The article further states, the attack comes amid a largely verbal but very intense campaign by Democrats in Washington, including the White House, to mischaracterize Republicans as a threat to the nation. Joe Biden recently labeled conservatives as semi-fascist, end quote. The article concludes with this statement. The Republican National Committee's response to Biden was, Joe Biden's wretched attack on millions of Americans have fueled attacks on pregnancy centers, Republican offices, and an assassination attempt on a Supreme Court justice. Then Representative Tim Ryan, a Democrat, recently insisted that Americans must kill and confront all mega Republican movement, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the scripture. We do so, ladies and gentlemen, bringing out the truths that many times you do not hear. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, makes this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And we're at that point today, ladies and gentlemen, just as that young canvasser beaten almost to death simply for standing on the truth in the campaign process. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand today the dire circumstances and era in which we're living, and it should motivate us to vote. We're talking about today, every vote counts. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for a Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for a Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. There's a benchmark, ladies and gentlemen, will help you to find Tools for a Time. It's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory U.S. flag flowing right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find that flag in the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for a Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It is a family-friendly, oriented environment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sundays, allowing the family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the people of God as God's Word ordained it to be so. So, ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just days away from the determination for the destiny of America. This election will indeed be the battle for the soul of America. Will we become a socialist, Marxist, banana republic, or will we remain a constitutional republic with a representative form of government? Remember, every vote counts. Already, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing open attempts by the Marxist, Socialist, Democratic Party to steal this election. Just yesterday, according to a news flash that I read, the Democrats have already filed over 50 legal cases in courts in one of the battleground states. And they have already bragged since March of this year that they have 1,100 attorneys across America in five or six key states that will make the determination of the direction of America. And they are planning to, as they have already stated, now 50 cases have already been filed in just one state. Ladies and gentlemen, they're planning on bombarding the courts with filing of court cases to delay the results. They have determined that if they can't win by the vote, they are going to try to win the election, steal the election by fraud, by going through the courts for the courts. And they're shopping judges, by the way, when they do this. They're shopping judges. They will file a case in a court with a judge that is benevolent for their socialist Marxist agenda. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you that we are faced with a battle, and that battle is for the very soul of America. We find it telling, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about the potential of what's going on and what's taking place of what is happening. I'm looking at an article here that says, New York judge just ruled voting by mail due to COVID fears is unconstitutional. The Democratic-controlled legislature appears poised to continue to expand absentee ballot provisions in New York state elections. In an Orwellian perpetual state of health emergency and cloaked in the veneer of voter enfranchisement, Sarasota County Supreme Court Justice Diane Freestone, a Republican, wrote in her ruling Friday. The 28-page ruling ordered local election boards to stop counting absentee ballots they have already received and to preserve them until after Election Day on November the 8th, after the resolution of the lawsuit filed by Republicans in the state. The ruling does not invalidate the ballots that have already been mailed in. And it goes on to talk about what happened in that state in the 2020 election and how there was fraud that took place in the election ballots that were mailed in prior to the election. And ladies and gentlemen, one other note that will substantiate what I am saying. Stacey Abrams, headline, Stacey Abrams, voting rights group shelled out millions to a law firm run by her campaign chair. Fair Fight Action, a voting rights group started by Democratic Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams, just paid out $9.4 million to a law firm that her campaign chairwoman is partner in. The group also paid out $25 million in legal fees just in the past 2 years to that same law firm. It is clear, a clear conflict of interest, because with that kind of close link to the litigation to her with her friend, and that provides an opportunity where the friend gets particularly enriched from the litigation, the outcome of that litigation can directly affect the campaign itself, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, that just sets the stage. But perhaps the capstone of what is already happening in the early voting stage and the pre-election date. Headline, gigantic headlines, Georgia mail truck potentially carrying absentee ballots destroyed by fire. A U.S. mail truck possibly carrying absentee ballots in Georgia was completely destroyed after it caught fire on Monday. The Baker County Sheriff's Office shared pictures on Facebook of a Jeep engulfed in flames in a rural area approximately 10 miles southwest of Albany. The Sheriff's Office said the delivery driver was not injured, but the car is a total loss, listen, along with all mail inside of it. And ladies and gentlemen, it was carrying absentee ballots. So maybe that was a coincidence. Maybe it just burst into flames. Maybe it's just one of those freak things that rarely, if ever, happens. In particular, to a mail truck carrying absentee ballots, and of all states, the state of Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that there is a move today, in my most humble opinion, to fraudulently steal this election, just as in 2020. And ladies and gentlemen, every conservative, every Christian, every patriot must vote this election. Ladies and gentlemen, as we vote, we need to pray, asking God to intervene, direct the hearts and the minds and the lives of each and every voter to cast the ballot. We cannot cast a ballot for a party, ladies and gentlemen, that stands for murder, that stands for the transsexual agenda, that stands for everything that's antithetical to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We need to seek candidates and vote for candidates that love the Lord, that honors him, candidates that are honest and honorable, a candidate that will not be bought or controlled by the lobbyists in Tallahassee or in D.C., ladies and gentlemen. We need to recognize there's a danger, and that danger is having those that are in charge that are unrighteous. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I believe America's in the state of mourning today. The only way it's going to change that mourning is for God to intervene, give us victory in this election process. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today, let me just simply boldly place it this way, delighted to have with us on this broadcast, our next Florida House of Representatives District 13 leader. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have La Sierra Masselin with us, a conservative Christian, no party affiliation. La Sierra, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. I appreciate it, and I appreciate how you presented me. That was just so amazing, and it just spoke to my spirit, and I so agree with what you stated.
Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. We've got just a few days before election time, and we're running the race, and I believe that God has been honored in the race that you're running. Would you take just a moment, in case we have listeners that have not heard us interview you before, but will you take a moment to just give a little update on what you've done in your election without going into details, just where you are in the election process and your candidacy process, what you found that's encouraging, what you found that's discouraging, what you found that is the response and the receptivity from the people in District 13.
Absolutely. So hello, everyone. La Sierra Masselin, your next state representative for District 13. This is the north side of Jacksonville as well as the west side of Jacksonville. I am running no party affiliation simply because my allegiance is to the Lord and him alone, and then serving his people. I am your conservative choice. I am more conservative than the average Republican, okay? My understanding and my belief in this is that I already know that I'm in the seat. I already have seen it. I know it. God has already tested and tried me through the fire for this particular role. So, no, I'm not bought. As a matter of fact, I myself and my husband, we funded this thing, fully funded this thing ourselves out of our own bank account. I am an entrepreneur. I'm a three-time business owner, so I know how to do things and build things from the ground up. I am your leader for District 13. And what I have found out during this process is that most people are MPA. Through conversation, you know, they're registered is one thing, but they believe something different, or they believe a little bit of Democrat stuff and then a little bit of Republican stuff. It's all mixed up. They're all mixed up. And in the end, they're pretty much, they have their own mindset. They have their own views on various topics. You know, some of them are basically regurgitating what they hear on the news. Some are actually researching and they're walking in the spirit and they understand what the real battle is right now, which is between good and evil. So I've learned so much. I've learned so much just talking to the people, knocking on doors is what my campaign has been mostly about. I've been appreciative to be able to be on the radio, on various radio stations throughout since February. No, I was not at the primary. So a lot of people are not as familiar as seeing my name as far as on the ballot, because I've always been at the general election, just waiting on my opponent. So I am encouraged. I'm appreciative. I'm learning that these things that's happening, people are just, you know, losing somewhat of hope in voting. But I just ask that every believer that knows and lives the way of faith, just be encouraged and know that all things will work together for good to them that love the Lord.
Amen. LaShare, very well spoken. I'm delighted with your intro remarks, and I pray that our listeners are paying attention. Let me invite our listeners today to join in this dialogue and discussion. Perhaps they have questions they would like to ask you directly. Perhaps they have comments to say whether or not they're going to vote for you or have already voted for you in the election. Love to hear from our listeners. 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, love to have you call, have dialogue and discussion directly with La Sierra Maslin, our next legislative representative for District 13 in Tallahassee, representing the 13th District, and yes, all of the state of Florida. La Sierra, I'm looking at an article. I've touched on it two or three times in the past week or so on this broadcast. It is from the Decision Magazine, October 2022 issue. It is written by Franklin Graham, and he makes a statement that I believe you would second the motion, if you will. On November the 8th, tens of millions of voters will head to the polls across America in the most crucial midterm election in recent history. To say that much is at stake is a gross understatement. It isn't just control of Congress. It may be our last chance to stop the immoral and ungodly policies that have brought our great nation to a moral brink of disaster. And he goes on to say, the floodgates of Sodom and Gomorrah have seemingly swung wide open in the past 2 years. The spirit of Antichrist is pervading our nation, hating the things that of God. Many of our leaders now advocate for and defend such abnormal behavior as same-sex marriage and gay rights. They are staunch supporters of transgenderism, which is nothing but a lie from hell. And he goes on to illustrate, discuss, and talk about the moral, ethical decline in America. With that being said, let me just jump right to a major, major question that I have, and perhaps our listeners have also. Since Biden has made in his statement that transgenderism is his major number one goal of getting transgenderism across America available and affordable for every human being that wants it. Now, with that being said, before I ask the question, according to the statistical data, the data bank based on insurance being paid, 146,200 and some odd preteens and teenagers have had healthy breasts cut off. They have had castration for the young boys. And this is the move that the socialist, Marxist, Democratic left are promulgating and pushing on America. Now, the question is, what do you think could be done or should be done at the state level to make sure that if this becomes a push as it is nationally, that we can protect ourselves, our kids, our families in the state of Florida? Do you feel that we need some type legislation that will make that a no-no for the state of Florida? Just as in Florida, we didn't do the lockdowns, we didn't do the mask mandates for the students in school. What are your thoughts on that from a Christian perspective?
Absolutely. So, you know, Graham article states, he's right on point when it comes to our nation going downhill and with our moral values. But we've already foreseen this. We've seen them, you know, come out of the closet, if you will, and we've seen the parades. And then when we had Obama in there, you know, allowing them to set aside the month of June for the LGBTQIAWTF community, we saw them pushing the agenda continuously, and even prior to that. So, you know, we've been going downhill, you know, for the longest time. And so that just simply let us know that the church is not in the position it should be in. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about those of them that say they're born again and they have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to those people. I'm talking to them and how often they've shared the gospel with another person and how many souls they've saved, because the Bible simply tells us that greater works will we do than what he even did. He tells us that in Mark. So where are great works that he told us that we will be doing? And that just leads me to say, you know what, yes, this is a war between, you know, good and evil. Yes, we know we're living in the last days and all such as that, but the Lord also let us know we need to occupy until he comes. We need to preach the gospel throughout every nation until he comes back. So we need to be busy doing and going about our Father's business. Now, as far as Biden, you broke up a little bit, so I didn't hear the entire statement concerning what he actually said, but something along the lines of transgenderism, what the legislation will be, because that's what we are going to need something to fight against this mess. It will be just simply that something along the lines of the parental rights for our parents and for our schools and as far as our school-age children. We're going to need something that simply just point-blank lets the world know that we're not tolerating it. Whatever I would title it, whatever I would present it to be, it will basically, the message is we're not going to have it go down in the state of Florida. Very similar to the mandates, very similar to the COVID-19 vaccine jabs is what I like to call them. Mm-hmm. And just basically letting them know we're pushing back. We're not going to settle. We're not going to even begin to entertain what Washington, D.C. wants to do, you know, in the various parts of our country. We are standing against every demonic force, and we're not going to have it in our home. So absolutely, there would need to be legislation passed, and I will be the person that will be the one that will present it if no one else is willing.
Absolutely. Well, I'm thankful to hear that because there's a need. That links to a next question, La Sierra. We have a need, in my opinion, love to hear your voice in relationship to that. I believe we need, and the State Board of Education, and it would come through legislation, through you and others, that would make it a choice, what's called student choice, parental choice, for placing the students in whatever school, Christian school, private school, parochial school, online school, charter school, et cetera, so that the school tax dollars follow the student and not being mandated by a school. I'm looking at an article. I'll set this stage before I ask you the question. Looking at a headline, largest drop ever. Every state suffers massive plunge in math scores post-pandemic. America's students suffered the largest ever decline in math scores in students in fourth and eighth grade, according to the National Assessment of Educational Progress. And it goes on to talk about 43 states, so a decline in scores in 50 states, as well as Washington, D.C., a decline in eighth grade math scores. And it goes on to talk about approximately 58% of fourth grade students said they were remote learning at some point in last year, while 73% of eighth grader students experienced remote learning last year also. And as a result of that, mega major drop in the academic scores. So the question is, are you interested in school choice to give parents the opportunity to place their student in any school that they choose to do so?
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. School choice is definitely a part of my platform, is what I go and I talk to the public about. That is something that, first of all, is our taxpaying dollars. So to say the funds are going to follow the student is, yes, my money will follow my child, my grandchild, my niece, my nephew. That's the obvious choice. No child should be segregated to a particular area based on their zip code or side of town they live at. And I believe this would even cause other schools to step up, you know, level up, if you will, and be more appealing to the community. You know, that way you can have, you know, a full enrollment list as well, because obviously the better schools are going to fill up. So, yes, absolutely. School choice is a part of my platform.
Absolutely. La Sierra, hang in there for just a moment. I have the break, the top of the hour news. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. Hang on. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issue.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.